Well, good afternoon, everybody. I got a little after four, so we better get going. Don't want to miss dinner. Get to the important things around here. My name is Dale Pollock. I am with, been on staff here about 20 years, coming up to 20 years already. Yeah, amazing. I was going to be here for two. I said, oh yeah, I'll come on for about 2 years, and then, you know, I'll go do something else. Well, you know, as you folks have, I've fell in love with the place. And so to me, it's only been about 2 years, you know, since I've been here. So I always say I got the best job, and that's making Mount Hermon just more comfortable and creating sacred spaces and just taking the spaces that have been handed over to us. I'm like a newbie. There's people that have been here 30, almost 40 years on staff. And just taking those spaces and then just carrying them on, like grabbing the baton and just carrying it forward and just taking some of the old places that you guys have known, the Gwen Lodge and some of the old cabins, and just, you know, giving them a little more life. And we all know that the accommodations are an area around here that need a little help and just, you know, need a little TLC to keep them going and for that next generation. So I get the privilege to be a part of that in the design, development, and construction of some of those projects, and some of the new ones too, like the Field House and some of those fantastic projects. So, but it's this crowd, it's you folks that really make that happen, because you're the support behind that. So, for us staff, I mean, we really. Really appreciate you guys and all you do to support us. So, what I'm going to do today, there was going to be two of us, Mark and I, but Mark unfortunately had to go away this weekend. He had a funeral that he had to attend. So it's just me. but you'll get your money's worth. Don't worry. We'll try to do the best we can. So I'm just going to talk about a little of the stuff that we've been doing over the last year. Now, some of this stuff. Maybe you might have seen it before, some of the things I'm going to talk about. There may have been updates that you've seen before. Hopefully some of them are newer, but just things that we've been up to. And you're like, what have you guys been up to the last, you know, year that you've been away? Well, we've been working steadily in cabins and lodging, and it's kind of a difficult thing to do, you know, because my wife, she runs the accommodations and the guest services people. You know, they want to use the cabins and the lodging, and the guests want to be there. So it's always a fine line on getting to be able to get in there and work on these places when they're not being used, because we all want them to be used and we want them to be full of guests. And so we can't always do as many as we want to. So we try to get in there and do as many as we can. One that we're working on right now is Upper Sorrel. Sorrel is a cabin. It's just a Forest Road. It's a red cabin right on the corner of Forest and Lake Lane, right above Chestnut, if you know where Chestnut is. Older cabin we got acquired some years back. So we've totally gone in, and it was just board and bat. That's all it was. Single wall, board and bat cabin. Really historic place. So we're just going in there right now. We're hoping to have that done by summer. Now, this was a fantastic project. If you are into this kind of thing, which I am, this was such a great project. I've been wanting to do this for probably 20 years, ever since I came here. I don't know if any of you ever stayed in Spruce Cabin. Anybody ever stayed in Spruce up on the hill? Old cabin, one of the most historic. Again, board and bat. I don't know how this thing was. It didn't have a foundation. It was a three-story cabin, no foundation. Just was sitting on the dirt, just like posts, right into the dirt. But it went through, what amazes me, it went through every single earthquake that, you know, the thing's been there for 70, 80 years. And so, but it stood the test of time, but it was time. It was time to spend some money and some resources in keeping that cabin around, very valuable cabin. And so we went and lifted it up. And we put in a brand new foundation underneath it and actually built a third story or ground level. Because before, this was just open. It was empty below. And so now we're working on putting in a lower level to that cabin so that it will be actually a three-story cabin and probably fit, I don't know, 10, 12 people. So you could actually probably get two families in there. So, and this came about because of the generosity of one family. They just saw the vision, and they have a heart for bringing people to camp. And so, you know, there's just not a lot of cabins where you can, you know, bring your family and then another family with you and all stay in the same place. Maybe Live Oak, maybe Redwood Cabin, maybe there's another one, Meadowbrook, Strawberry now. Yes, Strawberry, another one that we've been able to do that. So they saw the vision. They said, wow, this cabin is big enough. If we can fix that lower level, we can come to camp and we can bring a family that's never been here. Maybe that's never been to Mount Hermon, maybe doesn't even, go to church, doesn't have any kind of relationship with the Lord. We can bring them here, and they can experience Mount Hermon and have a great time. And so they had that vision, and it was all because of their... It was just on post and pier, yeah.
You were saying you lifted it, actually held it.
We held it. You're right. Gordon's right. We didn't actually lift... Well, we lifted it a few inches because it needed to be... to level it, but we held it up and then put in a brand new lower floor, and so now it's ready to go. It's all level. It was completely out of level. It had settled over the years, and so we were able to level the first and second floor. And so good question. That was $150,000 just to do the foundation. And then we've only roughed in this lower floor. So inside this lower level, it's still just rough framing. There's no finish. It doesn't have any sheetrock or any plumbing or electrical. But it's just ready to go for the next... Right, everything's roughed in, it's all designed, but the initial donation was just for putting in the foundation, starting that work, kind of setting the stage for the next phase. So we're hoping another, they're thinking that they can't do anything right away, maybe later, or maybe somebody else will come in and then help them go on to the next phase. So that's just one example of keeping things alive. Something just happened. Everything's going crazy. All right, we'll see if that settles down. So another area is Gwin Lodge. I know a lot of you have probably stayed in some of the newer Gwin Lodge rooms, and if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. We've started with the lower floor of Gwin Lodge. Gwin Lodge was built in 1962, so it's 52 years old. So it's ready. It's ready for a little makeover. I don't know, who has stayed in Gwin Lodge? Anybody? So you know how small those bathrooms are. I don't know what they were thinking when they built that. I don't know, but those bathrooms, they're like a cruise ship bathroom. Have you ever been on a cruise ship? It's like a cruise ship bathroom. I mean, you can barely even turn around in there. You have to go outside just to change your mind. It's so small. Yeah. So what we're doing is going in there and just kind of giving it a little makeover and creating some, and giving it a little lodge feel, trying to bring it to a lodge kind of look. We're kind of going for different styles around Mount Hermon. Instead of having a lot of different, looks and feels, and you can kind of go to some lodging and you say, okay, yeah, that was built in the 60s. All right, that was built in the 70s. Yeah, that was built in the 80s. Trying to be more consistent with, the feeling and the style and the kind of the timelessness of it. So lodge is one of our styles that we've picked. It kind of fits with, the Mount Hermon look and being up in the mountains. So lodge style is what we're working with Gwin Lodge. And then we're also working with another style we called heritage, or kind of the more 30s, 40s era where you had a little bit more painted wood instead of natural log wood. Here's a cabin that we've done upper lilac, and kind of went in there and just, you know, gutted that one out. And again, these are projects that only get funded by donations. We have families that come and donate money and donate their own time and resources. They'll come in and help us out with these projects. We have volunteers that come right alongside us and partner with us to create these spaces. This is Strawberry Cabin. This was another one of my favorite cabins because this was an original Mount Hermon cabin, meaning it was built probably between 1906 and 1910, right? So, like Spruce, single wall construction, very minimal foundation. I don't know what it was with the foundations back then. They just felt they didn't need them or something. I don't know. But just beautiful redwood throughout the whole cabin, completely 100% constructed out of redwood. Obviously, because that was the lumber of the day back then. That was so plentiful around here, was redwood. So just beautiful. So again, through generous partnership with a family, we were able to go in. Oops, I want to go back to that. And just kind of modernize it a bit, you know, because it had some areas that needed to be fixed. But with a little decoration and just a little simplicity, creating that wonderful space in there that can be continued to be used for years and years. There's knob and tube in there, yeah. Now, some of that, most of it, we replaced with modern wiring, but some we left, but not active. Just for appearances, yeah. You get that feel, you know. where we could, we got rid of it. This was Founders. A lot of people have been in Founders Cabin, one that was, again, a really old cabin that we've just worked on and modernized it a little bit and created more space. That can hold about 10 or 12 people in that cabin. This is oak, maple, and madrone, which are just on the other side of the historical center, kind of down off the side of the road. Those were the old dorms. Those, I believe, were the old dorms way back, way before my time. I don't know if they were the guys' dorms or the girls' dorms, but they were used as dorms way back. And then they turned them into lodging units. And because they're close to the conference center, they're very, desirable. So we're kind of gone in there and did some new flooring and fixtures and furniture and just kind of spruced it up a little bit. Now, this is Upper Holly. This is a cabin that's down by childcare. And this is when I talk about the heritage look, this is more of the heritage look where you have more painted furniture and kind of bringing in that style into the room and brightening it up. Some of the accommodations are very dark. You know, if you go into some are kind of real dark. And so just brightening them up, giving them a new look. This is same one, just from a different angle. But it just looks real fresh. I like that era. I like the wicker and the white and the clean lines. It just makes it feel comfortable and nice and bright. And another cabin that we were able to, that's not Upper Holly. I don't know how that got in there. But it's amazing what you can do with just finishes, just going into a cabin that really, you know, the structure of it's good, it's in a great location, but it just needs a little TLC with the finishes. And so just going in there with some paint, some furniture, window fixtures, things like that, that just makes all the difference. And then going through and fixing the problems, putting in modern low-flow toilets, getting rid of some of the old plumbing, lighting, just things that you want it to work. When you go into the cabin, you want stuff to work. You don't want to have these distractions of something not working. And so we're trying to eliminate those distractions and barriers that we call them barriers to ministry. You know, we don't want those distractions and those things in your room or wherever to be barriers to what else is going on at Mount Hermon, because we want you to focus on that. What's going on in the auditorium? You know, relationships that you're building while you're here at camp, in the dining room and in your rooms and stuff. So we want that to be the focus and not the issues that are in your room. So on a side note, don't hesitate to bring something up. You know, if you find something in your room that's not working, it's broken, whatever, don't hesitate to bring that to one of the staff's attention, go to the front desk, because we need to know about all these things, because we're not able to be in every single room, you know, all the time and know what's going on. So please let us know when there's something not working. Again, another cabin. I don't know why Upper Holly can. They must have thought these were all Upper Holly, but they're not. They didn't know. This is Upper Creekside. I know that one. And so again, just taking old cabins and just giving them a little life, giving them a little freshness, makes all the difference. So what else we've been able to do is purchase a few new cabins. We try to, as cabins that are closer to the conference center become available, we try to purchase those because they're very strategic to us, especially ones that are just, you know, up the road or right around the corner. We try to get those that are close in and turn those into guest cabins. And so we've been able to do that this year. One of them was on Lakeside, 30 Lakeside. So I don't know if you Lakeside Drive, which goes right below Lakeside Lodges, and it keeps going up. Just up the road there, there was a cabin that came available, and we were able to purchase this one. And it was a double blessing because it needed absolutely no work. Most of the cabins, and I know, because I get to go see them right after we purchase them. I think, why did we purchase this cabin? Because they have so many problems with them. And you'll get a kick out of the next slide I show you. But they definitely are in a need of a lot of work. But this one was such a blessing. It came completely. I mean, we bought it one day. We turned around and rented it the next day, because this is what it looked like inside. And so, yeah, it was simply a blessing not to have that burden of going in there and fixing all these problems and dealing with all this stuff. And so it was. Immediately we could just, and it came with all the furniture. I mean, they just said, here's all the furniture, here's everything, you know, it's all yours. Here's the keys, and they left. So, and they were a great family, supported Mount Hermon for years and years and years, and they were just moving out of the area and didn't need it anymore. And it was a vacation home to them, so we were blessed by being able to acquire this cabin. And that's called Beechwood, right up Lakeside Avenue. Now, this is an example of one that doesn't come ready to go. So you may have seen this cabin. This is now the new Heather cabin. It's just on the uphill or the up the road from Lakeside 700s. So Lakeside 700s, if you between there and Meadowbrook cabin, you see this little cabin tucked in the woods here, and we've had our eye on it for ages because it's so strategic in location, you know, being right next to the Lakeside 700s lodge, which is like literally right, you know, here. And so finally this year, we just acquired it like 2 weeks ago, and finally this year the family decided, okay, you know, we don't go to it anymore, we don't use the cabin, you know, would you guys like it? And we couldn't say yes fast enough, you know. But it definitely is one of those, you know, extra grace required cabins. It was probably original cabin, probably, yeah, built in 1906-07, one of those, you know, early cabins, because it's got the quirkiness to it. It's got a sleeping porch, and the roof needs fixing. It has no foundation. But it will be a sacred space. It's definitely got character, and the location is great. But this is inside. I mean, you go inside and you start to see the vision. You know, the old redwood. This is a Wedgwood stove. This is an old Wedgwood stove right here. I'm not sure we'll keep it in there. I don't know how safe it is. You know that. because I don't think it has, like, you have to just turn on the gas and light it, you know, with a match. So I'm not sure in a dry wood cabin that's probably a very good idea. But it's got character. It's very small, but we can see the potential there. And this will appeal to, I mean, some people will just love this. I mean, they're trying to get us to get it ready for summer, and we probably will, you know, because cabins are in demand. Cabins are definitely in demand. So, yeah, Gordon, now be nice. Be nice. No, it will become one of our premier cabins. So you probably all are aware of this. There was an appeal that went out for the childcare deck. Childcare deck definitely needs to be replaced. Just let's face it, it needs to be replaced. So we're working on that. I know that they said that it would be done before summer, but as you know, when you start working on plans and permits and trying to get county approval and that kind of thing, the county doesn't always agree with your timeline. They have their own timeline. So but what I can say and what we are so thankful for is the money has been raised. 100% of the funds to replace that deck has been raised, is there. We've got a contractor ready to go. Here's the deck. You can see kind of a little bit of rotting going on right here on the side. And so, yeah, it's ready. It's seen its days and ready for... We do, yeah. We've bid it out to three... Yeah, the question was, do we bid it out? We always do multiple bids whenever we do large projects like this and hiring outside contractors. Three is our minimum bid that we'll get, and we did the same thing on here. This is our crew. This is our we've got a crew ready to go, ready to tackle the job. They're already on the construction. They've already started demoing the place. So we are equal opportunity employer. You know, doesn't matter. So yeah, everyone's excited about that project. I think the child care was built, I'm gonna say late 70s, early 80s. I don't know exactly when. Does anybody know when the child care? 83. Child care was built in 83. So yeah, it's been there a while. And it's been, you know, we get a lot of rain, we get a lot of weather here, so it's always subject to a lot of abuse. Yes, the NUJIC subject to cover. Parts of it will be covered, parts not. We're going to be doing a lot more waterproofing and flashing with this deck, and also looking into Trex where we can, you know, use that. And so, yeah, definitely trying to be a little more proactive about keeping the moisture out in a way. Other areas. Now, this is an area that I resonates with me, infrastructure. I get to take care of the water system, the sewer systems, all the utilities and things like that. And although it doesn't directly affect the guests, well, it does because they need water and you need to flush the toilet. So that definitely directly affects the guests. But there are other but it extends beyond the conference center is what I'm trying to say, because we serve not only water to the conference center and the camps, but also to 500 homes, private homes, that are within the Mount Hermon Park. And so we embarked on a project this year to replace... Hey, what happened? All right, well, they've mixed up my slide, so... that's what happens when somebody else does your presentation for you. So we'll see where this goes, okay? We'll kind of... We'll talk about auditorium benches right now. So I don't know if you've noticed, but there are brand new auditorium benches out in back. Can we have an applause for that? Yay. Again, a generous, right, Carrie, a generous donation for these benches to replace the... I don't know the whole story on this. Right. And this was a group from Dallas, right? They used to come. Yeah, Dallas. And so it was. So yeah. So they put out the appeal. All the money came in, and so we were able to replace all those benches that we found were basically being held together by paint. That was pretty much what was keeping those benches together. And so not a minute too soon. And these are made out of Ipe. I don't know if you know what Ipe or ironwood is. So they will last a long time. Yeah, very long time. They won't even need to be painted ever, as far as I know. Beautiful benches. Yeah, and a local contractor. There was a local contractor who lives right here in Mount Hermon. And so we worked with him, and he built them one at a time. And he would just keep building them and bringing them down here until they were all replaced. So, yeah, what a blessing that was. But really, really a neat story behind that. And I know you're all probably aware of the roof that was the appeal for the roof over at the Dining Commons. That was such a great video. Do you guys see the video of who was it, Talbot and JR and Roger, I think, were in the dining room with all that water falling on their head? Priceless, priceless video. Anyway, amazing story there too. We've received more money than we needed to do the roof. And so we've got additional funds left over because we have to do the roof at Ponderosa Dining Room as well. So we received all the money we needed to re-roof the whole dining commons plus the gutters. So just, you know, again, an amazing amazing generosity of this group and God's people who rose to the occasion to replace the roof on the dining commons. It definitely was... there was no time to spare on that. And we were able to do the one on the child care building, too. So I think it said we did dining hall and child care. Right, child care roof was also re-roofed. And that's very important to us around here, again, because it does rain a lot. Normally we get 50, 60 inches of rain a year. To this year, 25, 26 inches probably. Typical, 50% of what we normally get. So kind of typical for what's going on in California. But normally we get a lot of rain, we get a lot of wind, we get a lot of things falling, trees, branches, stuff. And so roofs are a good roof is very important to us around here. So very, very happy to have that. So now we're back to the water system. So... doing a water replacement project, and this is not here, but it's in the neighborhood. But we're able to put in 3,000 feet of new water main over in some areas surrounding Mount Hermon. They're the neighborhoods of Mount Hermon, and these are just some of the infrastructure projects that we get to do around here. Is working with the community, and for us. On the maintenance staff, the facility staff, the community is also an outreach for us. I mean, we deal a lot with the community, and we need the community's support. I mean, they're all around us, and so there are a lot of the community members who are not Christians. They don't really participate in anything that Mount Hermon does. They just see this as a nice place to live, but they have no idea what we do down here or what we're all about. And so for us, it's just a way to extend Mount Hermon into the community and to, you know, be a part of their lives and just let them know what we do here. And so, the question is, do they purchase their water from us? Yes. So we are the water company, so to speak, and deliver water to all the homeowners. And we also take care of the roads. So all the roads in Mount Hermon, which are here and throughout the whole park in the neighborhoods, are owned by Mount Hermon, so we have to maintain the roads and all the trails and everything else. So by doing that, it's, you know, we try to, you know, minister to them in any way that we can and have a good relationship with them. And so they're always happy when we come in and do waterline projects and things like that. And we're just trying to build that relationship. We're also able to do a new water tank replacement. We had two old water tanks that were put in right after World War II. And they were used when we got them in 1946 or 7, I think it was. And so just last year, we were able to replace one. We replaced both of those, and the first one a couple years ago, and then last year, this was the second one that replaced. 285,000 gallons each. And so that is just two of the three storage tanks that we have here that supplies water to all the conference center facilities and all the homes. Very important to have water. It's actually reversed. So the as the float goes up, then the measurement goes down. So yeah, so it's nearly full. Yeah, it's a good sign. It's nearly full. We don't recover any of the rain here. I know that's it's becoming very popular to recover rain and try to utilize that. Yes. Right. Do we treat the water? Just only with disinfectant, only with chlorine. So it's good enough coming out of. We have two groundwater wells that serve Mount Hermon. Didn't know if you guys knew where the water came from, but it comes out of the ground. Historically, you probably remember. You've probably been around long enough to know that it used to come out of the creeks or out of the springs. So up until 1992, I think. 100% of Mount Hermon's water came from Ferndale Spring, which is the one that runs right here through the Dining Commons. Then there was another one called Redwood Springs. And so that was Mount Hermon's sole source of water. But then there was a drought, and they pretty much dried up, and there was a critical time. You guys, I wasn't here then, but Mount Hermon was trucking in water to try to keep the tanks full. And so at that time, they said, okay, I think we better drill some wells to get into the aquifer. No, we don't use the springs anymore. Right soon after that, the what they call the surface water treatment rule came into effect and made it harder for you to use surface water. And so groundwater is a lot easier to use. So that's where our water comes from now is groundwater wells. Another project we're working on right now is hot water, very important for the dining room. It's been an ongoing problem. One of the way the hot water is heated for the building has been inadequate for a few years, and we just been, you know, barely kind of keeping above, you know, or barely keeping it going. And so we're embarking on a new project to try to add some additional hot water capacity to the system. Because the hot water, I love this next picture. You'll get a kick out of this. I love this picture because it's like the, if you've never been in the bottom of the dining commons, that's what it looks like, right? That's like the bowels of the dining commons right there. And so we've got, it's a very mechanical building. And a lot of work goes into keeping the dining room and the kitchen building going. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff there, and so it takes a lot of resources to keep that building heated and cooled and working and all that kind of thing. So this year we're hoping with this new project that we won't have any more hot water issues. You probably don't even know about that, and that's a good thing, right? But we all know about our problems, and that was one of them. Makes all your coffee. So that directly affects you. So you want hot coffee, so you want this to work. And at breakfast, yeah. Now, before I go on to that, any questions, any random questions? Yes, Mark. Indeed. Oh, boy. Okay, so I have to confess that Mount Hermon owns that. Yeah. Anybody want to buy a cabin? It is for sale. What's that? So, yes, Mount Hermon owns that, and it's one of those cabins that is not usable. It's one of those cabins like I talked about. We bought it, but it wasn't really usable. And so, you know, it was they bought it for a strategic purpose of thinking that, you know, it's in a great zone and we might be able to renovate it. Well, we bought it right before the economy tanked in 2008. And so we just haven't really been able to do. We have a few of those around here that have just kind of, you know, we've acquired and had hopes, you know, of renovating and still do. But they're just sitting right now unused and not usable. And that's one of them. Some limbs came down. The reason the tarp's over it is a couple years ago we had a really big storm and some tree limbs came down and punctured the roof. So we threw the tarp over it to keep it from flooding inside and just really haven't been able to use it since. So if any of you guys have any ideas about partnering with Mount Hermon, we'd love to hear that. Any other questions? I thought.
Across from that, there's a hill that's covered with a...
Yes. Luckily, that is not Mount Hermon's house. Yeah, so as you come in Conference Drive, as you're making that sweep and you look up on the side of the slope there and you see the blue and the white and the orange tarps and that house perched way up on top. Yeah, that's a private homeowner who's got a problem. Luckily, not Mount Hermon's. It did. That hillside is slid four times in various places there. So it's definitely an active slide and creeping closer and closer back to that house, unfortunately. The house is safe. It's sitting on deep piers, so it can withstand a few more slides, but I don't know. Question in the back. 440 acres total. No. And then the new bike park adds another 14.7 acres to that. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Right. So the question, the people we serve water to and the roads, do they pay for that? And the question is yes. Or the answer is yes, sorry. We have they pay a flat rate plus a usage for their water. And then they also pay an assessment for the roads. So there's a charge for road maintenance and things like that. Yes, Bruce?
Why does the county not contribute towards the roads? Because it's not gated.
Right. And they don't because it's private, because we own the road. So we actually own the land. You know, not under the parcels, right? The people who buy homes here, they own their own parcels, but Mount Hermon owns all the right-of-ways and all the common or all of the right-of-ways, and we own a lot of parcels too that are just not developable, that are non-developable as well. So we own, out of the 440 acres, Mount Hermon probably owns about half of that. That's, you know, Conference Center, Redwood Camp, Ponderosa, and then just a lot of open spaces around. Nothing. We don't have any plans right now to do anything with the administration building. The question was, is there any plans for the old administration building? And no, we don't have any. The control. No, Mount Hermon controls. Mount Hermon has control of all of its buildings on its property. Post office is owned by Mount Hermon, and so the post office leases the building from us on like 5-year leases, or 5-year lease, yeah. Plan to replace the auditorium. We still have plans to do that someday. Right now, there's no immediate plans to do that. It in itself is probably a $12 million project. So right now, the old one's still going strong. It's still hanging in there and still usable. Yeah, I know. I love that building, too. I'm in two minds. I'd love to see a new building and all that, but I'm falling in love. Every year that I stay here, I fall more in love with that building. My two and what is it? Central Lounge. Central Lounge is one of my favorite places. So we have to move it. Yeah, we can't tear it down because it's a historical structure, but they've allowed us to move it if we can. And so the chapel and the historical building will get moved to the side and then to make way for the auditorium. So it'll, I think it'll be a while. Yeah. So, well, Felton Meadows. So that's, I'll just talk briefly about it because I'm involved in it. And then I know Nate Pfefferkorn is going to talk about it too, or he's talking about it right now probably in his seminar. And then they'll talk about it more probably tonight and then a dedication tomorrow afternoon after lunch. But in my involvement, I'm involved in it developing it, getting permits for it, getting approvals for it, working through all the plans and very exciting project. I am so excited to be involved with this and try to get this going. And if you're not familiar with it, it's 14.7 acres that we purchased at the bottom of the road down there right next to the Safeway Shopping Center. And it'll be mostly a bike park. And so where you see all the brown squiggly lines, those are bike trails up there on the top. And then over to the side is where the pump tracks are going to be. And it's got parking and some open space and play fields. And so there's going to be a lot of stuff going on down there. But it'll be focused mainly on the bike part of it. And Nate can speak to that a lot more. And then two major structures, which are going to be the day camp building here and then the retail center there. Those will be two large centers. The day camp will be sort of run like our day camp here at Mount Hermon, but it will be run primarily for the community. And so it will be like a community outreach and a day camp for them during the summer. And then Mount Hermon will use it throughout the year for various programs as well. And Redwood, a key part of this project is this pedestrian bridge right here that will link it to Redwood Camp. And that'll be very critical, enabling the people from Redwood, the kids from Redwood Camp, to come over there safely without having to cross this road. Zianti Road, this road right here, is a very busy road. And there's just no safe place to cross that. So getting that pedestrian bridge in there will be very important. And so we've already talked to the county about that, and they are open to that possibility. So we think we got a pretty good shot at that. So where we're at now is we've submitted the plans. We've developed the plans. We've submitted them. We're in what's called environmental review. So the planning department is looking at it. All the environmental aspects of it. That'll hopefully come to an end here in the next couple of weeks. And then after that, we go into what's called a public review. And so for 30 days, they put it out there, and any agency in California can comment on it, file an objection, have some kind of comment. And then we have to respond to those and deal with any comments that are brought up. And once we get through that process, then it goes to a public hearing. And that'll be locally here with the Santa Cruz County Planning Commission. And so we're hoping to be at that stage maybe midsummer. Best case scenario is we would be, you know, 1st of July, we would be at that stage of the public hearing. And then we go before them, and then once our project is approved with that process, then we can start developing, and then we can start pulling permits to do the various things that we want to do. Yes? Any opposition at all? Any opposition? No, we're not sensing any major opposition. I mean, there's a few voices out there that, you know, don't like this, don't like that, but nothing, well, what I would call significant, no major opposition. We've got a lot of good comments from the county. The county is actually very supportive of this plan. And the community as well, we've got a lot of community support. So it's looking very good that we'll be able to move forward with this.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the key. Like our the model is going to be very similar to the Canopy Tour, which is totally self-sustaining and pays for itself. This will be of the same model because the public will be able to come and you know take advantage of it and do the activities, and so it will be a self-sustaining. Right, they'll pay a fee like they do the Canopy Tour, and so that part of it will pay for itself, and then there'll be other parts that will be more ministry-based. So, that's a good question. Can we keep it as nonprofit? I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, they're kind of working through that right now, so I don't get into that side of it as much. There's a question over here. Okay. Yes, Charlie. Yes. Significant drainage out there. Yeah, yeah. Big, a lot of grading, a lot of drainage, a lot of that, because it is wet during the wintertime. It is a challenging site. That's why we're not doing a lot of structures. The structures are down on the bottom end of it where it's drier and better access. Up on the slopes, it's where it's a lot more. So that's where all the biking and things like that will take place. Very exciting project. Just continue to ask for your prayers on this as we move through the process with the county. It's always, you know, an unknown about what's going to come up and the things we're going to need to deal with them. There's a question in the back.
Will that day camp have a Christian influence?
Yes, it will be run by our staff. And so I don't know, I don't totally know the answer to that question because that's more of a programmatic thing. But from what I understand, right, our staff will be running it. And so it'll be, I kind of think it would be very close to the outdoor science school that we run, where it's our staff, it's our programs. There's certain things that we can teach and not teach, you know, depending on who's there. And so it'll be very, I think it'd be very similar to that, but that'd be a great question for Lisa Olson and her team who are more into the programming of it. Any other questions? Yes. Funding, it's totally donation-based. So that'll be, it's going to be in the capital campaign. And so it'll be part of our campaigning funding. And we've raised, I believe we're up to about $2 million so far, which will get us started on some of the other. So it'll be phased. We don't need to go out and just build everything right away. And so we'll phase it where we're doing the bike park first, and some of those activities first, and maybe the buildings will come later. So it can be a phased project.
So it's a mortgage property.
Correct. The property is mortgaged, I believe. Again, I don't know all the details on the financing part of it. Any other questions? Very unique, yes. The whole biking part of this, which is being called the Velocity Bike Park, very unique to this area, something that's very popular that I wasn't aware of. But Santa Cruz being like sort of the mecca of mountain biking. Who knew? I had no idea. But there's all types of mountain bike societies and groups and professionals and companies, and they're all around us. Developers and right here in Santa Cruz. And so, right, we're engaging with some of those local bike companies and partnering with them, and they'll come in and probably help us run and do various things, and so yeah, there's probably going to be a partnership somewhere in there. This is kind of a look at the day camp building. We're kind of going for that kind of ranch style look out there. Not too tall. We don't want anything that's really tall. We like something that's a little more low profile. So this is kind of a ranch style look. Similar with the retail building, which will support all of the activities, the bikes, there's an aerial adventure park, kind of a high ropes course that they're going to be doing out there. And so there will be one building to support all the activities, And then the other main building will be for the daycare programs. And they'll also run like after school programs and before school programs and things like that. So yeah, it's a really great community outreach. Well, that's all I had to talk about. If I'd be willing to answer any more questions that you might have. Yes. The main entrance will be off Conference Drive. Let me go back to that slide. If I can. So right here, where you come in on Conference Drive, then the main entrance will be right there. So right as you turn off Graham Hill Road and come into on Conference Drive to come up to the mountain, to the Conference Center, there'll be an entrance right there. But we're also hoping. That we can gain an entrance here. There's an access point here. We're working with this. There's a property owner here that owns a bank and some buildings, and he has a little access point there that we're trying to work with him on that. And then we're also talking with the shopping center owner, the person who owns the shopping center, to try to gain access to the park through a gate right here, kind of right through that parking lot. And he's not totally convinced right now that that's a good thing. We can't understand it because we think it's a win-win for both of us. He having more patrons coming into his shopping area, and then we're just having that connection there to his parking lot and allowing that flow. So he hasn't said no, but he hasn't said yes. And so he's kind of waiting to see what happens, I think, and what, you know, how this space grows. Correct. We have negotiated, I should say, with the bank owner, and he has said, yes, you can come through that little. But it's not very wide. Yeah, it's a small access point. So I think once the other shopping, with the main shopping center owner sees this develop, and he, the last conversation I had with him, he was very excited about this, and he saw this as a positive thing. But he's very cautious, and he just wants to kind of see how things go. But I think eventually he will allow us to have access through there to their parking lot, too. So,
does the county have a requirement for a parking?
Yes, so the question, does the county have a requirement for a number of parking spaces per occupancy? And yes, they do. So we've met that minimum number of parking spaces, or we provided enough parking spaces for the people who are going to be there. So we've gone through all of the studies, the traffic studies and the environmental studies. And he is, yes. And he is. He's concerned about that, and rightly so, you know. He's concerned that we're going to be parking in his spot, and you know, so he's just kind of waiting to see how that works out. Yes.
What is
the projected? I think we've looked about 300 people. 300 people on the site at one time, but so the people will be coming and going, and so I'm not sure exactly what that will add up to, like over a whole day. But the site can accommodate about 300 people, you know, at a time. And they'll be
spots where bicyclists can unload their bikes, put their wheels on.
Yes. Right. So it'll be a timed, like you'll have like sessions where you'll come and there'll be sessions, time sessions, like you'll be there for an hour or 2 hours, and then your time's up, and then you have to exit, and then the next session will start. So it'll be very similar to the canopy tour. Yes. Right. So yes, the whole idea is for Redwood Camp also to be able to use this and work that into their program and work it into their activities, so that's why the scheduling is very important, so they can schedule time for the Redwood Camp to come over and utilize that area as well. So the athletic field will be mostly designed for field games, soccer, those kind of games, the stuff that you would normally play on a big, large field. They don't have any specifics for it, but just sort of a general. No, they could do. I mean, they could do an improv softball, but it's not going to be designed specifically for any one activity. Yes. So the railroad doesn't go, luckily, the railroad doesn't go through here. The railroad parallels it on the other side of the creek. Let me think. Hold on. Let me think where that railroad. Yeah, so the railroad kind of parallels it because it goes through Redwood Camp. And so it's on the other side of the road in the creek. So no problems there. Yes. Anything else? Yeah. Yes. So the question was modification of cabin facilities at Redwood. So we have a master plan for Redwood as well. And that's new cabins to replace the existing cabins. The existing cabins don't have bathrooms. They're just an old wooden structure on a concrete slab. And so the plan is to replace 20 cabins with 12. And those cabins will be like a two cabins in one. So it'll be enough space for for 16 people. So two counselors and 14 kids. So restrooms inside. Yeah, there'll be bathrooms inside the cabins. And then we're planning on a sports pavilion, kind of similar to the field house, but not so elaborate. More of open space, kind of more of a pole barn structure, but covered, more like a covered a play area or sports pavilion. No specific time frame on that. Yeah, it's part of the campaign, so it's inside the Capitol campaign. So we're looking for donors. Anybody that. So, yeah, new cabins, a lot of new stuff going on at Redwood Camp, hopefully. Any other questions? All right, well, we're doing good. It's, 5 o'clock, right on time. All right, thank you. Thanks for coming.